I was kind of a screw off, to be honest with you, Brian. I didn't really have a goal. I didn't really have a vision. I remember having a conversation with my parents right after high school about, you know, the old, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I didn't really have any direction.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Brian Scudamore, CEO and founder of O2E Brands. We're home to 1-800-GOT-JUNK, Wow One Day Painting, and Shack Shine. We have some truly incredible franchise partners. Ordinary people, sure, but ordinary people who are building exceptional businesses. One of those people is today's guest, Mark Sieber. With big visions and even bigger goals, today's guest is the perfect fit for Wow One Day Painting. And it all started with an interrupted day at the pool. This is Mark's story.
My name is Mark Sieber. I am the Wow One Day Painting franchise partner in St. Paul, Minnesota, or as you might see me on Google, Twin Cities North.
Awesome. Well, hey, welcome, Mark. And so stoked that you're here. You have behind you a Can You Imagine wall. And tell me what's on that wall.
Many different things. Some of them already crossed off, which is kind of fun. But some of the goals that we want to hit within our business, some personal and some professional goals, one of which was get on Brian Scudamore's podcast, which has always been kind of a goal for me from the start of this, because these were one of the reasons that we got involved with WOW to start with. Right early on when we decided, well, like, I'm going to get on that dude's podcast someday. So
that's awesome.
Well, it's actually a long journey if you think of it. Starting right out of like high school, I went to a two-year school. I don't have a college education, went to a two-year school for radio broadcasting. But figured out there wasn't any money unless you're the top guy in the market. Sold boats at a family-owned boat dealership for 15 years. Then the market fell out in 2008, and suddenly the people that had money didn't have money anymore. So the boat business kind of fell right on its face, and went to a hockey game with a friend of mine who was in the logistics business. Got me a gig as a freight broker. And then two mergers later, I believe, we were bought out by UPS, and I'd since gotten to the, to the middle of the food chain there, but without a college education, you couldn't really go anywhere. But middle management, sales manager, and it was nothing wrong with the company or the people that were there, loved them. But got to a point, Brian, where it was kind of like, I was bored. I wasn't challenged. I always told my team that I wanted to get them to a point where they didn't necessarily need me anymore, and I kind of felt like I did that. So it was kind of boring. And then just with all of the corporate red tape, and well, I call it brown tape, but all the corporate red tape where you couldn't make HR decisions without, you know, every form and triplicate, and, you know, it was very difficult. So I decided to get into it and hang out my own shingle somewhere. So that's that story.
How did you end up in WOW? I know you wanted to hang out your own shingle.
I mean, you tell me. One of the things when we were looking for franchises right off the bat, Brian, was first of all, we wanted something that the franchise is that you're buying kind of a business in a box, is the way we kind of looked at it. You're buying something that is a proven system, something that's tried and true. I didn't even know that WOW was a brother or sister to 1-800-GOT-JUNK at the time. But just kind of looking through some of the things that we had gone through a franchise broker. And when we were first initially presented with WOW, I said, nah, no way. You know, I don't want to own a painting company. And it's just funny how that came about. We looked at other opportunities and with reputable companies, and just looking through what like WOW was looking for and some of the experiences, you know, you do your due diligence, you look up people online, and you really saw that, yeah, these guys are kind of the real deal. And this might be what we're looking for, you know, and one of the first lines of people that you're looking for, if I remember right, when we had a discovery day in Vancouver was, you know, you're looking for people with a strong backbone of integrity was one of your things, one of our pipe values. And I mean, right off the bat, I think you're one of the only franchises that was number one on what you're looking at. And that happened to be my number one too.
Tell our audience, you don't run the business alone. This is a family business, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Well, I run about 90% of it still, but we have a big goal of getting my wife 100% on board by the end of Q1 of this year. And that's a big risk, but so was opening the franchise. So was, you know, jumping off of the cliff and grabbing the brass ring and seeing where it gave us. So I think we're willing to take that additional risk, and the potential's certainly there. But yes, to answer your question, that's the ultimate goal, is to own the business and run the business, not necessarily and hire people around us to operate it and run it. So that's the goal.
Tell me about the moment that you first decided you wanted to run your own business.
It is a great story because it was kind of smoldering with me for quite a while, but you never really want to take that risk. You know, as I mentioned, you were kind of fat and happy, making good money. I got so many weeks of PTO to use, but there was always that burning thing in the back. Like I had an uncle who owned a couple of pizza franchises in town here. And I always told you, like, we could totally do that. You know, we could, I don't see why we can't do that. And thank God we didn't. But, you know, nothing against people that own pizza franchises, don't get me wrong, but just not my cup of tea. But we were talking about it, and Jill and I were having a pool day. As I mentioned before, we have a pool, and it was just a Mark and Jill day. You know, have a couple of cocktails, float around in the pool. Took the day off. I believe it was around my birthday or something like that. It doesn't matter. And she kept getting bombarded from work. You know, so-and-so didn't show up for work. We got to go home. The staff doesn't work. This particular problem. It was like 5 or 6 phone calls. And she told her staff that I'm off. This is my day. I'm done. I'm not going to. And they still relentlessly kept at her. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there in my lounge chair reading a book or whatever I was doing. And she's like, ah. I go, honey, let's do this. So that day led into that evening. And we may have had, you know, a few glasses of wine or a couple of beers. And she finally got to the point, you know what? I'm done. Let's do it. Let's make that phone call. Let's talk to a broker and let's go after it. And I'm finally like, yes. All right. You know, so I finally got her to be on it, because that was our goal. We work well as a team. I'm that boisterous, outgoing noob. And then she's the kind of quiet, soft-spoken, more analytical. So we pair very well off of each other, and we lean on each other's strengths. And that's what makes us such a dynamic and strong couple, I think. But yeah, I was really glad that she was finally like drawing a line in the sand, like, let's do it, sick of it. And then next thing you know, we're in that process of getting going. So
Jill had a bad day, and finally opened the door to let's live this
dream. Was like the straw that broke her back of that. And she was fine that day, but that evening she finally like, screw it, let's do it, I'm done. Let's make it happen. What do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up?
What did you want to be as a kid? What was the childhood dream of Mark as an adult?
I was kind of a screw off, to be honest with you, Brian. I didn't really have a goal. I didn't really have a vision. I remember having a conversation with my parents right after high school about, you know, the old, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I didn't really have any direction. To answer your question, what did I want to be when I grow up? It's like, I didn't really have a rudder. I didn't really have anywhere that I wanted to go, but I had a strong work ethic. I knew that.
I love that you so openly and honestly said, I was a bit of a screw up and I didn't know what I wanted. My parents asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I didn't know. I mean, are you living the dream today?
Man, I always tell everybody at the beginning of our journey, when we started and we're looking at this franchise, you have your doubters of what you were doing. You know, like, you're leaving this great job, downtown Minneapolis, you're making good money, man. You can coast the rest of your career. And I remember a good friend of mine saying, are you sure you want to do this? And my answer to him was, no, I'm not, you know. But we always knew that we wanted to do our own thing. And it was a giant risk at the time. But yeah, I'm so glad that we did this. I'm so glad that we made this decision and did this. We have that freedom. And I'll tell you a story. It was sometime this summer. It was about 2 o'clock on a Friday. And my wife is down by our pool, you know, enjoying a beverage, let's say, and it's beautiful, you know, June afternoon, let's just say. And it's Friday, and I'm sitting there jumping around. I'm twiddling my thumbs. She's like, would you just sit down? My wife says to me, and I go, well, honey, I feel like I should be doing something. I feel like I should be going somewhere. She goes, honey, that's why we did this. Just sit down, have a beer, and enjoy the sunshine. That's why we bought the franchise, you know, and that kind of hit me like a lightning bolt. Like, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're right. Let's just sit down and enjoy and smell the roses. You know, we're in the corporate world. I was leaving the house at 5:30 to catch the bus, 5:30 a.m. And then I wouldn't get home until 6:30 at night. Where's the life in that? Yeah. So yeah, it's great.
What do you see the business bringing you? What are your goals?
Some are business and some are personal. So if we want to start with some of the business ones, we got 1 million up there in revenue for a year. We've got that. That's on the top. Of course, you might not be able to see it. $100,000 a month. We haven't hit that yet, but we hope to hit that this coming up year. Rookie of the year, which, you know, if you got to, you got to envision that to make it happen. Pay off our house. We're buying a new territory for our franchise that's in the works right now. So we're really excited about that. Be able to cross that one off the wall. And then we have some travel plans here for the family of what, you know, Europe, Rome.
What's your vision for the business overall? 5 years from now, what do you see? The size of the business?
Well, it's funny you should say that because I am, you know, it's our slower time of the year here. I don't know when this is going to air or whatever, but I'm working on my own painted picture that you have too. And just broad strokes, just painting across that. Our envision for the business is to, we'll be in that $1 million, $2 million range, just like our Mike Sandness in the south side of the cities. He's been a great mentor and a great friend through all of this. But yeah, $1 million, $2 million in that club where you don't necessarily have to work that hard. You have to kind of oversee, if you will. And you have a team underneath you that is invested, you know, both culturally and, you know, possibly monetarily into your business, and they feel like they're part of something. And then we can all enjoy some of the fruits of that labor and becoming that painter of choice in the Twin Cities. And we're well on our way for that now. I think Mike and I are doing a good job of making sure that we represent the brand pretty well. So those are just broad strokes.
What's important for you in how you find people in your business?
Well, that's a great question. It all starts with attitude. You can sniff out a bad attitude relatively quickly. And like we've got a painters now, even in the slow season, that just have a, heck yeah, let's do it, let's get at it, you know. And we've just had a run of 5-star reviews, which has just been awesome to see. The guys do a great job of making sure they go over the top and over the moon to make sure that these people feel like they're truly wowed, which is great.
I know that the most skeptical people in the painting business on the one-day concept are painters. Painters say it can't be done in a day, but our painters know it can be done in a day. So I'm not asking you to give away the secret sauce, but why has no one else figured it out? Why can't they live up to the promises and commitments that you set?
It's not necessarily the one day. Yes, we do paint most of our projects in one day. You know, that is in our namesake. It's in, you know, it's on the website. But it's more than that in my regard. It is a customer experience from start to finish. You know, whether we're talking to Jen and her team and the sales team in Vancouver, or, you know, someone reaches out to me directly, from the initial contact to the end of that, where hopefully we get a 5-star review from this customer. That entire process is laid out to where we really wow them. Like, who the heck are these guys? And oh my gosh. And that's what we're just trying to portray. And that's one of the things that I don't think, Brian, just the point of showing up on time when you say you're going to show up, it's unheard of in our business. And that's just so silly. It just blows my mind that all you got to do is show up and show out. I guess that's the secret sauce. Yeah, we always, when someone says wow, we go, yep, exactly. That's what we always say.
Yeah.
The guys love it. Yeah.
That's got to be our next TV commercial or something.
Yeah.
What I want to understand about you and Jill, you wanted to be on the Founder Stories podcast. Mm-hmm. You have a story to tell. You have something unique, a gift in you? What's your
me? Gift? Oh, that's such a loaded question. I don't know. I'm a pretty humble guy, Brian, so I don't like to boast and brag very much. But the secret of my success, and I think I've already said it, is just to be genuine, be sincere, your face value. And I can be blunt at times, don't get me wrong. You know, I can be very blunt with both my children, my team, my wife, when I was in the management. But I always try to be empathetic with everybody, see it from their side of the table.
You hear people often say you've got two ears and one mouth, use them in that proportion, right? And it's so true. When you sit and ask a customer, what's important to you in this paint job that we're about to do? What's the most important thing? When the customer answers, you know what it'll take to get a 5-star review. And mm-hmm. So I think you nailed it, that just listen. Just listen, ask questions. Can you talk to me a bit about some of the community work you've done?
Yeah, it's something that really, when we started this, we wanted to be that. You know, we wanted to give back, and you know, in a lot of faiths, you the tithe, so to speak. So we tithe in a different way. So we always look for nonprofits. We always look for a reason to do, let's call them simple but meaningful projects. It costs us labor. I can generally get a paint partner to donate paint for the good cause. It's a win-win really for everybody. And man, the team loves it. When we're doing a charity gig or a give back, we just finished our month to WoW in November here. Our goal was 5 charity projects and we ended up with 4, but I'll take it. And our most fun one was for a little special needs young man named Bodie. We advertised in this local magazine and his folks and he were nominated, or they were had their article was written about them. And I'm like, I'm gonna paint that little dude's bedroom. So I contacted the magazine, they contacted me, we got in touch and we just did that in November. And man, if that doesn't choke you up and make you feel, you know, good, the little dude came in and saw his bedroom. He was just wiggling around and, you know, oh my gosh, it was great. It was great. So that's the stuff that makes you feel really, really good.
We're all so incredibly proud of the work you do in the community and the inspiration that you will give. You'll be that guy that's just going to get the whole Wow One Day family rallying behind doing bigger, better things for the community. And it'll leave a lasting impact.
Thanks, Brian. We're just getting started.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Founder Stories. I'm Brian Scudamore. I love hearing stories from founders. I'm curious what resonated with you. Tell me on Instagram, LinkedIn, or go to my YouTube channel to learn more.